No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so we're going to kick off the show today with a little antidote, a family antidote when it comes to Captain Dennis. And it involves his daughter because we've been following her progress. She's been making giant strides in her effort to become a commercial pilot at this point. She's already got her... she's got a private pilot. Well, she's got her plane.
She's soloed a glider. Now she wants to add airplane to solo privileges as well.
Okay. So she's on her way to eclipse me in my pursuit of a private pilot certificate. Yep, and the only thing holding her back is rage, right?
Well, and we're over one of the hurdles. She's now officially 16, so that's no longer an obstacle for her.
No more excuses, Abby.
No, she can solo now, powered in addition to her sailplanes.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. But she was doing just that. She was working towards her private pilot piston aircraft certificate, right? It was a Cessna 150.
Yep, she was out practicing, just out flying with the flight instructor, doing just your normal introductory maneuvers, going out and doing stalls and slow flight, and ironically, emergency procedures. Because, you have to do that before you can solo. Got to be able to demonstrate you can handle the airplane. You know, if the engine was to fail, what's the process? And so they were doing that.
Well, what's the ironic part of that?
Well, what was originally a simulated emergency suddenly became a real emergency.
Whoa, that's not ironic. That's a nightmare. Are you kidding me?
What happened?
Well, she was at about 800 feet and had picked out her landing spot on a lake. And, the instructor had pulled the throttle back on the Cessna and said, okay, now let's clean it up and go around. Put the throttle back in and it didn't come back.
Now, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Now, I thought you were supposed to do power off stalls way high at altitude to...
He's not talking about stalls. He's talking about simulated engine failure.
Well, are you supposed to do it at that low of altitude, though?
There are times when it is appropriate to practice that, yes.
When it's not me. Remember that, Ed. Otherwise, you're buying me a pair of pants.
And new cushions for the airplane,
exactly.
Right?
All right. So in Abby's case, this happened, and she tried to throttle up.
Was it that they had done one from higher altitude, and they were just starting to recover at 800 feet?
Yes. Yeah, okay. They had everything was lined up. Abby was into the wind and had her landing spot all figured out and was, going through the checklist. And, the instructor went to go clear the engine, just to make sure. And when she put the throttle back in, it wasn't responding. It kind of chored it, choked a little bit, and
popped and all that.
Yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden, it's all hands on deck, and this is no joke now. This is we need to just follow the process, and they did. They wound up monkeying with the primer, the mixture, the throttle, and eventually the engine coughed and kicked back in, and they got out of there, and everything was fine.
So. Yep. All right, so when this happened, just so I'm clear, because I want to make sure if this ever happens to me, I'm in the right frame of mind. Was she on the final, like she was coming down over the runway or something when they were doing this?
Yeah, they were lined up. They were committed to land on a lake, next to some farm field. There was like a good-sized pond, nice wide-open area. Nothing to hit, and so that's what they were going to use for their landing area.
We do need to clarify one thing for Greg here. The lake is frozen solid.
Correct. Yeah, right?
That's what I was saying. Like, wait a minute. What are you talking about, landing on a lake? That doesn't sound like a very good plan.
You forget, 6 months out of the year here in Minnesota, lakes make great runways.
Okay. Well, there's that. All right. So that sounds a little bit more feasible.
The other 6 months out of the year, you have to put floats on the plane, and they still make great runways.
Mm-hmm. So they could have come back down to earth and landed on the lake, yeah, and everything would have been fine regardless. But yes, it did kick in about, what do you say, 150 feet
above the ground or so. It started, it basically kicked back in, got full power back, and they were able to climb out and everything was normal.
Yeah.
Well, my gut feel here is that they had carb ice. Even though they had carb heat turned on, it was probably building up, and then when they throttled back, it was enough to just kind of choke it out a little bit. And
What altitude did they start the maneuver at?
I'm not certain. I'm sure they were up, 1,500 feet probably. Let's pick out a spot, and how you kind of circle around and find that, that spot to land and get lined up and set up and start going through your checklist, make sure your gas is on and the mixture's rich and the primer's locked and your mags are set. All of the checklist items that you go through.
What was the temperature and humidity like that day?
Well, it was about 15 degrees above zero, and that's not in Celsius.
Yeah,
but it was a fairly high humidity day because we started off the morning with a haze and low visibility because of that, and then as it warmed up, that kind of burned off. So
okay, so the moisture was there.
Yeah,
so, I mean that's possible. That's on the low end of the temperature spectrum for carb ice, because normally most everything's crystalline below 20. But if you had a moist air mass, that's plausible. Mm-hmm. Usually, though, that happens in that scenario from a higher altitude. If they're coming, 3,000 or 4,000 foot descent, and they're not clearing it on the way down, and it does build up. I've experienced that exact same thing, but it was for a much more prolonged descent.
Now you're clearing it how, by making the mixture,
or if you're... then you just go full throttle.
Oh, okay.
You give just it a little burst just to make sure that the engine's still there, and clear any it might be running a little bit rich, and so you kind of get a little buildup in there. So you just give it a little burp to make sure that everything's still fine, and then continue your maneuver.
Yeah. But the procedure does call for all the way full and then back out.
So well,
it's not even just a little bit RPM; it's a full RPM and then back out.
Well, the moral of this story is, I believe she really learned a great lesson. She went through that whole process and it hit a little close to home there. Mm-hmm. She really had to perform, the whole thing. So
how's she doing with it? It's a question.
So here's the thing. She is so great about it. I mean, she was laughing. She's like, boy, have I got a story to tell you. Yeah. But
okay. More importantly, how's your wife dealing with it?
Exactly. Oh,
well, the first thing I told her is like, I think we need to leave some of the details out of this when we talk to mom.
Well, if she was going
to, and it's good she didn't listen to Just Plain Radio.
That's true.
Right.
If she was going to land on the lake, though,
none of our wives do.
A frozen lake. I mean, now you took out all the danger, I think. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't.
There's
even
still
have been
snow
nervous
on it, so when you go to come in on a lake like that, it's you're going to come to a halt rather quickly.
Well, maybe, but I wouldn't be like I got to land in a field in the middle of nowhere or something. Well, I guess that's about the same, isn't it?
It's about the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
but well, I'm glad she was very elated that she didn't have to do that though, because as she put it, she wasn't camera ready. That was her attitude. She's like, I don't want to be on the newspaper again.
Well, like I say, that's kudos to her for not letting it phase her, because a lot of people they would just walk away.
Yeah, no, she's ready to go back up again. In fact, her instructor sent me a message about an hour or so later, complimenting me on how calm she was and just such a stable mind. She just did what she had to do, and she's like, I'm okay with I'm committed to this if we have to, but let's try one more thing, and then if not, let's just land on it. I'm not going to force this.
So. Now the instructor hadn't flown since, right?
No, she was probably up later that afternoon, but Abby had to go stop into their office, and she says, "Oh, you're the student that flies the Cessna." Yeah. So everybody at the office had already heard the story, and she's like, "Oh, it was no big deal. It just became a really bad glider at that point." And they laughed.
That's the thing. She's got the gliding skills on the glider. The kids that do gliders first, powered second, really, it's like, yeah, so what? I'm used to not having an engine.
That's right. I don't need no
stinking engine. I never had a go around until now, so there.
Exactly. There is no go around.
So true.
And you know, reality, Dennis, I think it's great that she did that first in the gliders, because I've seen it over the years that the ones that do that first are so much more stick and rudder and outside the window pilots than, and you know, in retrospect, that's probably where Greg should have started.
I should have started with a glider, really?
Yeah, because then I wouldn't have to fly with you.
Oh, well, there's that. Yes. Okay. I knew there had to be a catch.
And there would have been no right 360 at 300 feet on final.
There wouldn't have been.
Because it would have been a non-towered airport.
Yeah, there's that, too. So, wow. I you know, I'm just impressed that she got through it, because, like you said, that would have grounded a lot of people, lesser individuals like myself. Take a lot less than that to stop me. But that's a whole nother show. We'll leave that for another day. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, hold that door! Hold that door! What? Hold the door!
Oh,
what?
I'm so sorry.
That's my flight to Los Angeles.
I'm on that flight. You just missed it.
Look, I made the plane. I'm here.
You were so close, but unfortunately the door is locked and closed.
You're not letting me on the plane?
I know it's frustrating, but once the door closes, that's it. Federal regulations.
Please, let me in here. It's so ridiculous. There's the plane right there.
But really, it's as if the plane's not there.
What? Are you a magician?
No, but the door is locked.
I see the plane. If you're doing a trick. It's not a good trick.
It's such a shame. They gon' miss this plane. 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 I try to believe you. I don't wanna leave, but I need to.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right. Well, the airport in Northwest Arkansas City has a geese problem. Or a goose problem. I don't know. I think it's geese. I think there's multiple goose that are flying around the airport. And I don't know, did they come up with a solution, or are they just trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do there, Dennis? What's going on with this?
I saw that they were going to try to blind them with lasers and make noise. Maybe they should get drones out and scare them off or something. But
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know. But I don't know. We got bird problems all over the country, especially, you know, as we get closer and closer to spring. springtime, but we have it year round at our local airport, right, Ed?
Yeah. I mean, there are birds all over our place.
Do we have geese?
No.
Well, we got gators, eagle. Which are speed bumps.
We got eagles. Yeah, we got gators or speed bumps. And we got eagles. We got buzzard, turkey buzzard.
Which is similar to goose size-wise.
Oh, yeah, size-wise, they're about the same.
Yeah. But these geese, those are big birds.
Mm-hmm.
So they could put
to take out airliners.
Yeah, well, true. True. So they're trying to figure out what to do. Because evidently they got some resident geese that have, I'm assuming they've just moved in temporarily because of the weather or something, you think?
Well, yeah, there's something to do. It's called a shotgun. Get a good bird dog and a shotgun, you can take care of this
who
problem.
Who wants goose for
Invite down the good
Easter.
Old boys.
I mean, come on. They don't have to invite them down. They're right there already. Arkansas.
Yeah, it would be an Easter goose instead of a Christmas goose.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I guess there's that, you know, old school option. Yeah. I would imagine they've thought about that, but they haven't wanted promoted. They didn't want to promote that to create a stink with, you know, some.
Well, and I think that guns and geese and airplanes all mixing together is probably not the greatest.
Well, there's that issue.
I think you could note them. Put a note about caution geese and hunters in the area.
Avoid geese and firearms. Yeah, that would be an interesting note.
If it sounds like hail, it's not hail. It's just shotgun pellets.
It's bird shot. Don't worry about it.
Bird shot. Divert. Okay. So anyway, hopefully they'll come up with a solution to that. Now, you mentioned drones. I saw this week AOPA fly-ins are going to feature a drone show.
Oh, you got to go.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And evidently, they're putting in some kind of special system. They're working with some company that has put together some new high-tech system to make sure the airspace is totally clear or something like that. Is that what you saw too, Dennis? I was reading
something
about it.
Yeah, I think it's just to make sure that there isn't any unauthorized drones, you know, possibly on frequency or something that might interfere with the drone show.
Right, because you would not want that to happen. I don't know how big it's going to be, but I mean, they're talking about dozens of drones they're going to use. I see this picture of them forming to make like an American flag or something like that, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of like that one we went down to Disney. They did something like that.
Well, that was like 300 drones, wasn't it?
Yeah. How many drones are going to use on this one?
They said dozens. So I'm going to say 50-ish, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at this picture of this flag, and it doesn't look quite as elaborate.
You got 50 stars in the flag, right?
Good point. Maybe there's at least that. I don't know. I don't know if it had all the detail like that, but who knows? We'll have to talk to Tom Haynes and find that out. But if you took the drones to Arkansas and had them like make the outline of a really big bird or a giant owl, you know, scarecrow, I don't know. Maybe that would be a solution. And it would look cool. It'd be entertaining and productive at the same time.
Yeah.
No?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. See, I am the one. I'm the brain trust here at Just Plain Radio. Comes up with all these ideas that others have disregarded or filed accordingly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is all about drones here on Just Drone Radio.
Well, we got to get our drones fix in every week for sure. It's becoming more and more important for sure. Now, one of the other little tidbits, you know, Dennis is planning to fly his Mooney 201 down to the Caribbean. In the coming week, especially as we get into the warmer weather, and he can, I don't know, dig out of Minnesota up there in your neck of the woods. And how does this new rule that they're incorporating in the Cayman Islands affect you, Dennis?
What it's going to affect is our flight planning. You know, it wasn't previously a requirement. We would just have to, you know, file EAPIS with U.S. Customs on the outbound leg. But now there's a new service, CARIACOM. It's basically a Caribbean-wide standard that they're trying to put into place. And one of the first to adapt it is the Caymans. So if you're going to be flying your private airplane into the Caymans, you have to file a similar passenger manifest on basically pre-announcing to them that, you know, you're coming in and these are the people that are going to be on board and here's their credentials. And so it's going to take a little bit more involvement. You're going to need to work with, you know, companies like AOPA. You know, they're going to have to be updating some of their travel guides and processes, and or possibly working with like flightplan.com to have them be able to file this on your behalf. There's just some changes, just some additional pre-flight preparation that you're going to have to start doing now.
See anything about that? That's just with the Caymans, or what is that going to be applied to the Bahamas? Or
well, I think it's just the Caymans so far. They're the first ones that have said, "Hey, we're going to do this," or "We're doing it." I don't know if is it already in effect. I'm not sure if it is.
The requirement's in already, I believe.
Yeah. But I mean, that sounds like, you know, what you have to, you know, all the hoops you got to walk, go through to get back into the U.S. when you're traveling abroad. You got to call in advance, get your window, and all that kind of stuff. Is that the kind of same type of system we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it says your U.S. EAPIS manifest will be automatically submitted to Fulfill CARIOCOM if you're using flightplan.com's filing system. So the handy part is, you know, you can use some of these services out there, file it once, and they'll take care of everything on the back end. But, you know, it's up to you as the pilot in command, you know, to make sure that you're looking into, you know, what are the requirements for all of these different countries as you're heading off from island hopping.
That could be a problem, couldn't it?
Yes, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, because I know when I traveled with Captain Clay last year, we didn't have to do anything much in advance other than contact the towers and tell them we're coming in.
No. He took all the care of all of it, and you just didn't know about
it. Well, we didn't have to file any paperwork before we went.
Yeah, he did.
Wait, well, with did. U.S., we didn't have to do that with, like, Turks and Caicos, did we?
No. But with the U.S., you did.
Yeah, with the U.S., for sure. But, I mean, if you have to now do it for the places you go to, that's just more hoops and crap you have to.
Yeah, but it sounds like that flightplan.com is getting streamlined. And
well, hopefully.
That's a good thing.
It's more stuff we got to do, though. So they got to go. They got to get them all to do it, or not just one, I guess.
Yeah.
You think? Maybe the Caymans are the first. We'll see. All right, more coming up. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Dennis, rounding out the crew. All right, so we had this story a few weeks ago about the military's doing these exercises, jamming GPS signals, creating quite a stink because it obviously creates havoc for some of the pilots that happen to find themselves in an area where the military is doing these exercises and jamming your GPS, you know, avionics. Next thing you know, like, oh, no, I got to fly old school. This blows.
Or even worse, as Keith was saying, you know, with some of these airliners or, you know, business jets that require the GPS to be part of their autopilot and air data computers, and all of a sudden it's in an uncontrolled state, and it's kind of interesting.
Not to mention ADS-B.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, the radar picture that the radar controller is going to be using is based on GPS signal.
Yeah, and if that's not working, they're not going to know where the heck you are, and you're not going to know where the heck you are, which is
kind of hard to report your next waypoint, right?
Right. But AOPA is on the, you know, working on this, trying to, you know, petition the military and say, hey, you got to do this, or petition the FAA and make them do something. And I saw the, you know, we talked about having a safe word or something that the pilots can yell out, like, hey, my GPS isn't working. And the safe word would be like, help. Or, no, it wouldn't be that. It'd be something else. But then I see in this article, AOPA is suggesting a stop buzzer.
That is actually the key word that air traffic control is using.
That's the safe word, is stop buzzer. I thought it was like
you wanted a buzzer going,
yeah, which would be way more
like
fun.
Like when you answer a question wrong, we go,
well, that would never happen because I'd turn the power off. but yeah, so that would be fun if we had a little easy button on our dash. Like, hey, our GPS isn't working. What was that, a whip?
Well, you know, yep.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah,
I'm getting ready to start teaching you, Greg.
Yeah, he's having fun with his app on his iPhone there with those. But yeah, there's the safe word, stop buzzer. They're trying to petition the FAA to see if that goes into effect, and we'll keep you informed here on Just Plane Radio. That was your cue to hit it again there, Dennis. Where are you? There we go. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed, and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. You know, we were talking about Southwest flying to Hawaii, and, you know, they had these, what were the, what model airplanes were those they were flying? And they
the
had
737-800s and 737-800 MAX, I believe, was what they were testing.
They were testing them with the FAA over the water because it was too long a distance and they didn't have that certification. But now they do. So people that want to fly from the West Coast out to Hawaii and back probably can save some big bucks potentially because that just gives them one more competitor.
Yeah.
And it also sounded like they were looking at possibly doing inter-island flying as well. So
Well, there you go.
That's going to put some pressure on the island hoppers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. More competition makes everybody...
I don't know if I could.
That's better, the theory, at least.
I don't know if I could fly Southwest to Hawaii.
Not being able to pick out your own seat ahead of time. And
exactly. Yeah, that's a long flight.
Yeah, they don't have first class, do they?
They don't, no.
But, you know, their economy seats are pretty decent.
Oh, yeah, much better. If Allegiant was going to do it, forget it. I love flying Allegiant.
Hell no.
An Allegiant flight, it's those small seats, that distance, oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Southwest is at least as comfortable, and every seat does have some leg room.
You know, I don't want to knock Allegiant all the way. I mean, they do offer some great fare prices.
Hey, I fly them all the time. I love them.
Yeah.
They're my favorite airline. But every, yeah, that whoever long of a distance, their, I would not do.
Whoever designed their seats, though, definitely.
Was shorter than you?
Never heard of the word husky. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, yeah. God help you if
that's
you have
Airbus.
Large backside. But anyway, yeah, if you want to go to Hawaii, New Dudden, you have Southwest as an option now, and they're legal. Mm-hmm. They were just testing you if you were on one of their flights already, I guess. So
I'm pretty sure they were just running their own people in the FAA, just proving
think?
That their crews are trained to be able to do this, the extended overwater in a twin-engine airliner.
Okay. So. Well, yeah, you know, we don't want accidents, so they had to test them accordingly. That's what they do. Now, when it comes to accidents, they do happen, and there has been some video out there on the web this week. It kind of went viral on this. Let's see. The caption on this video was four buildings hit by a single plane or something like that. Yeah, what was this?
During an air show.
During an aircraft, air show.
Yeah, it was during an air show. An aircraft collided in with four buildings. It was really tragic.
Did you hear about this, Ed?
Four buildings. No, I didn't hear about this. Where did this happen?
Yeah, where do we know which air show it was?
I'm trying to think here. I want to say it was like a Canadian air show, but I'm not really certain. But yeah, it was. It looked like it could have been really catastrophic.
I saw the video.
Might have messed themselves up.
Yeah, the four buildings were
not in the loop on something.
Well, the four buildings were outhouses,
and it was a hot air balloon that was being dragged.
So it was one of those headlines. You're like, whoa, I got to look at this. Clickbait. And then like, oh, man. Oh, that's awesome. Let me watch that again. Oh, I'm going to send this to Dennis. Okay. I'll send this to Ed and Keith, too. Yeah. So that was pretty funny. But yeah. And it's good to, you know, when you're thinking you're going to go find a video that's going to be, oh, gosh, I got to know about this. And like, oh, they're making a funny. And then you're like, hey, is there anyone in those outhouses? God help them, you know, if that's
some guy running around looking like a Smurf later on, you know who it was.
Be yeah. Like a, you know, out of a scene out of a comedy.
Hey, we're getting too close to Sun and Fun for that kind of a joke.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely that kind of atmosphere, but I don't think we're gonna any of those kind of incidents. But if we do, just...
Well, we know at Sonofun where all the really good restrooms are that actually have flushing toilets.
That's so true. They don't use these green outhouse things.
They do. They do. There
Not
are plenty
nearly
of
as many.
There are plenty of those around, too. We just seem to avoid them.
Well, that's true. In the campground.
Because we know right where to go.
That's right. They have these upscale mobile... Or I don't know. They're, some of
the ones
them are permanent.
Now they've got that permanent set there.
Yeah, they really got it well thought out. Maybe after years of having airplanes or balloons
run into outhouses, they figured it out.
Tip them over, and maybe
this will be a relief for my wife to know, because she's itching to come with the Sun and Fun this year. So it looks like we'll have the entire Captain Hayes's family.
All
coming
right.
Down, so.
Oh, excellent.
Well, there you go. Yeah, are you going to be on a mission for Sun and Fun? You think? As far as what you're planning to accomplish yourself there, Dennis, or what do you think?
It's always a mission. I got to go look and see. First of all, warm up. That'll probably take 2-3 days at least. So
maybe. Hopefully it'll
early
be
April.
Nice.
It'll be warm here. It's already warm here.
It might not be that warm. It'll be comfortable. Be very nice.
Okay.
Spring-like.
Once again, my sister came down from Minnesota, and we were having a cold snap, and she commented on how nice and warm it was here.
Well, yeah, but she came from Minnesota, where it's like...
Where Dennis is from.
Right. Where he's pretty much cryonics, or what is it?
Cryogenics.
Suspension.
Yeah.
Yes.
His brain is frozen.
We're excited, though. This high today is supposed to get to 39. So the only downside is we're also going to be getting another 7-10 inches over the weekend here. So
well, glad I'm not you. And, so you'll have that to look forward to. Sun and Fun's going to be here before we know it. I mean, we're only
a
month away.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a month away. I think it's April 2nd.
It's going to be huge. And we have some fun plans. We're working out some specifics right now that we'll share with everybody. Here, hopefully, as early as next week. We'll have to see how that unfolds. But, I know I'll be just wandering the aisles myself, getting inspired. And we do have this other story that we got to, we kind of have to navigate through a little bit now. The headline, searching for something to do during retirement. Why
you have
more...
to work first before you can retire, Greg.
Oh, well, I didn't say it was for me. Yeah, actually... I don't know. It just gave me another reason. But it says, why are more retirees getting into aviation? That's all I had to read.
I just figured you're going to use this as your new excuse for when you're going to finally get your pilot's license. You'll just do it when you're retired now, because I've got this list of excuses I can use.
Well, that's true. But my passion is my profession. So, and I can't see any reason to stop doing what we do every week now. We've been doing it too long. So I can't retire, so I can't use that excuse.
7 years. Can you believe that?
Has it been seven?
7 years.
I thought it was longer. Actually, I thought it felt longer.
I'm sure our audience thinks so, but no, it's been seven
I
years.
It was shorter, but what do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. I lost track. I don't care. There, it's all okay. They're only
we got to think about this. Our sons were still in high school.
Right.
So, and
so it's possible.
It's possible. It's distinctly possible that that's the right number.
So we're getting close to retirement is what you're saying?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
I don't know. But why are, more retirees doing this?
What did it say?
I left that to Dennis to cover. I stopped at the headline. I'm like,
Think about it. You finally have the time. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You've been working for decades. You finally reach retirement. You're looking for a unique hobby. Aviation, why not? You never had the time or the money when you were raising kids and working, and now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, and actually, I can say I have some facts at the flight school that support that. I do have a number of people that this has been bucket list. They're now on the backside of the career. Or retired, and they're looking at this as a neat and interesting hobby.
I think that makes a lot of sense. You got more time. You got to do something to activate your brain to keep it moving. And learning how to fly in an aircraft is a perfect example.
Think about what do most retirees do? Don't they, head off and travel and, go do things? Well, why can't you do it with your airplane?
Well, you could get there quicker.
Or go to different places.
Right.
Maybe you couldn't get to with your motorhome. You can take an airplane and go fly to islands in the Bahamas or
chances are
fishing in Canada and things like that that might be harder to do with a car.
Well, and chances are most people that get to that retirement age, their butt has expanded to the level that it won't fit in those Allegiant size seats.
Well, good thing Cessna 172s are a default trainer now instead of Cessna 150s.
So exactly.
We've got that going for us.
Okay. Yeah, but as they age, they're probably looking at the sport pilot because the medical is not an issue.
But with basic med, that becomes less of an issue now, too.
Yeah, less of an issue, but still they've got to get through that first one.
Right. Mm.
So, and actually, I've got one guy who started out for this exact same reason. He was retired. He always wanted to do it. And he got his sport pilot certificate. And now we've gone and gotten rid of our sport airplanes. So he came in and talked to me last week. Okay, I guess it's time to go get my medical and so I can upgrade to private. And then after that, he'll go basic med.
Well, there you go.
So, there are a couple different stories of that, like that of customers.
You got many, many options. That's the bottom line. And you don't have to wait till retirement, but it gives you another excuse to go get it.
Yeah.
More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They always listen to the tower. They never question the authority of the tower. Well, the tower's telling us to hold. Well, so what about that? Just once, I want to hear, the tower's telling us to hold, but you might notice I'm rumbling along the grass. If you look out the right, you'll see all those aircraft lined up on the runway. The tower keeps telling us we're number 19 for takeoff. I say we're number one. What's the tower going to do? Hey, you! You can't exhibit that type of behavior! You're right, I shouldn't have done that. No, I should have listened better. If you need me, I'll be up in the clouds.
You must be a pilot to know that move.
You can really fly. And while you're up there, turn around and touch the sky. I guess the point of getting out is never saying goodbye.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew. All right, so you can wait till retirement. and get your private pilot certificate, sport pilot certificate, whatever the case may be, or you could move faster. But it is. It's like an old dog,
and
new trick.
And you'll
still
kind of be Greg.
Well, you could use me as your motivation. Like, I just want to get my private pilot certificate before Greg does. And use
That's
me.
Pretty much everybody.
Well, hey, I'm here to set an example. A bad one.
You're setting a real low bar there.
Okay. But whatever I do, I sacrifice myself for the expense of our satisfied customers or passengers along for Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
But it is a way to keep active. You know, like I said, like when you're learning something, it stimulates your brain. It's good for that kind of stuff. It's better than sitting around and doing Sudoku on your iPad.
Playing cribbage.
You know.
Yeah. Solitaire.
It's much more fun, I would say.
I'd agree.
Yeah. So you have that. And you would agree, right, Dennis?
Absolutely. I mean, just look at I'm not quite retirement age yet, but I'll tell you what. Some of the
you're pretty
challenges,
much there.
Yeah, I feel like it some days. But, you know, studying for a new rating and just, you know, learning stuff, it keeps your mind focused. You got to dust off the gray matter that you haven't used for a while. And, you know, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Anything to keep you active and thinking instead of just sitting on a chair and, you know, playing Parcheesi and shuffleboard.
Well, exactly. And you'll sound way cooler to all your friends, too. But you don't got to wait till your retirement age. Maybe you're a business executive. And we got this article. This is from our buddy, too, that you like to follow. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah, this is actually from Abby's flight school.
The guy that owns that.
Yep. He's the one that wrote this article. You know, 4 reasons why business executives should add flight school to their 2019 resolution lists.
Okay. So say you're a business exec or just like to call yourself one because it sounds impressive and you're looking for something to do. So these 4 reasons give you a reason to add it to your resolution list for 2019. So the first one is personal progress translates into professional success. How so? What are you saying?
Think about it. You're challenging yourself to learn something new and branch out, just like we were saying in retirement. The same thing for the person in the CEO role. You know, you get so fixated and focused on crunching the numbers and running the business that you forget to have and enjoy life. So this would break you out of that mold. You get to see things from a different perspective, try new and different things, and that might open your eyes to some new and creative things that you could do within your own business.
Well, so true. If you get your private pilot certificate, maybe you can fly and see some clients or something that you normally couldn't get out there to see in the field.
You're jumping ahead because that's number 2 on the list.
It is, which is convenient and cost-effective ways to travel. Well, that, of course, that makes sense. But I guess it goes back to not only cost and stuff, but it looks cool. It looks impressive to your clients. Hey, I'll meet you for lunch. I'll just fly my plane down for, you know, next thing you know, you got the deal. You know, because they're like, right. Ooh, this guy's a pilot. He's a kind of a big deal, right?
Well, and you don't have to deal with the headaches of TSA.
That's probably the wrong type of person you want in an airplane.
No, the guy who doesn't fly is looking at the pilot saying that.
But what you're promoting there is the businessman to become a pilot to show off to his friends, and that's macho, and that's hazardous. I'm just telling you what the facts are.
That's the current FAA training on hazardous attitudes. You're correct.
But it's real, Dennis. I've seen it. And I've trained them, and I've told them to hire somebody to fly them around because they don't need to be at the controls of an airplane if their mind is elsewhere.
Okay. But if they're dedicated to doing it correctly.
Exactly.
They can play that card. Come on.
Dr. Morgan, great pediatric surgeon.
Yeah.
He knows when to fly and when not to fly and when to have us fly him. But he actually, going back to the first thing, he said that it improved his work in the OR because, you know, after getting in the airplane, learning about checklists and so forth, he developed all kinds of checklists for his procedures and using with his staff in the operating room.
Yeah,
he became much more disciplined.
Much more disciplined, exactly.
He started incorporating aviation checklists in his surgery. Like, I got to check all these things off that I started with, and I make sure I have the same number when I leave so I don't sew them up in that guy. Scalpel? Yeah, still. Yeah, okay.
Wedding ring? Oops.
I've read those stories. I've seen these stories online. So, yeah, that would make sense. You know, you take your aviation training and apply it to life. I've done that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, that's a whole other story. Number 3, It may inspire your next big business idea. And that would be becoming a private pilot instructor or something, maybe. I don't know.
No, it's just you're getting that – it's that break away from the routine, you know, instead of the crunching the numbers and everything like that. You get that time away, and it lets your mind finally go elsewhere and get away from the mundane office stuff and be thinking about other things.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it opens up
perspective.
Creativity, for
well,
sure.
And I think that there's a lot of validity that I know a lot of them that say, you know, hey, when they started training, they didn't think it was going to be as intense as it was. Or when they get through it all, they're like, yeah, I see why I'm doing this now. It's because it's an escape. I have to totally focus on this, which takes me clean away from that. Nobody can reach me up here. They do recharge their batteries.
And that was
flying.
Number four. Learning
it provides
to fly
an escape.
Provides an escape. So there you go. We covered all four of those. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.